All right. Good morning, all.
Morning.
Forward to getting started. Welcome. This is a specially called meeting of the Bluegrass Whip Executive Committee. And as pursuant to our open meeting, open records policy, we will be discussing only what is on our agenda that was sent out and posted prior to the meeting. Those on the executive board know that we sent out previously an invitation to add anything to the meeting that the board thought was appropriate. Also, what we've stated is we're having this meeting, it's rescheduled, because we have our full board meeting coming up in 1 week. We have wanted the opportunity to be as prepared as possible for that meeting. All of our meetings are recorded, and they are recorded to make sure that we capture everything in our minutes, so that, as you'll see as we go through, we can keep everyone up to date, bring everyone up to date. We're in a situation where we have a lot of new members and new chairs, so by compiling all the information to see what has been done in the past, we'll have the opportunity before this legislation wraps, which is June 30th, that we are operating under, to make sure we have everything taken care of, wrapped up, finished, complete, and we're not leaving any hanging issues for the new board with new legislation, which starts July 1st. So, with that in mind, we have packets for everyone that we will be going through. What we wanted to do is, first of all, as part of this welcome, we have a lot of new people here, and I'd like to pass on something that was done by the prior chair, which was allowing everyone to give a community update. In this instance, I thought it'd be a great opportunity, because I'm new chair on training wheels, to allow everyone to meet one another so we have an idea of who we're working with here. So in the past, what has typically happened is there was a past chair who would work with the new chair, and then there's a vice chair who's kind of in training. We unfortunately do not have a past chair still on the board. So what we've done is drafted some of those on the executive committee who have been here for some time, that therefore can kind of bring us up to speed and help guide us. So we have James. James is dealing with a potential gas leak at the courthouse. So he's checking to make sure everything's there. He's going to be joining us shortly. Also, Mark Manuel is our former treasurer, who is still on the Workforce Investment Board, and he also is available for help for, do you know where this is, do you know where to find it, etc. In addition to having many new members, as you are all aware, we also have some new staff on the Workforce Area Development District. And one of the people that you'll be meeting today is Chris Turley. Chris is taking over for Jennifer Compton. So he is also getting up to speed, and we'll include him in kind of our introductions as we go around. So ideally, what we'd like to start with today is get an idea of who you are, what county you're from, private sector, or what your job is, etc. Anything you'd like to share about family, who your judge executive is, and how long you've been here, and why you joined. So I guess to get it off to start, normally I'd like to go last, but in this case, to give you guys an idea of what we're looking for, I thought it might be easier if we start. So my name is Tracy Pratt-Savage. I am from Nicholas County, and I am in the LED lighting business with my husband, covering five states. That's what brought me to Kentucky. I chose to be here, and I chose Nicholas County. I've got a brother who's lived in the county for 14 years. We would come down and visit, fell in love with it, hoped to retire here, but with the lighting business, had the opportunity to move anywhere. And we chose Kentucky and covering this five-state region. I am the mother of four children. I have two that have moved from the Detroit area where I came from to Cincinnati, Ohio. One's still in Detroit, and my fourth child, a daughter, is just moving to Northern Kentucky. She's got a brand new job. She started yesterday in Covington area, and she's looking at settling in Newport. So I've got another Kentuckian in the family, and ideally hoping that we'll see more. Because I'm new, I joined the Chamber of Commerce. We figured if we were going to be here for the next 30 years, it would be nice to meet some people who are interested in doing good things, positive things in the community. So I am also vice president of our local chamber. I volunteered to work on our Work Ready application as part of the chamber that was being headed up by economic development in our area. So I also got asked to join economic development. And as many of you know, if you're in a small town, when you're asked to join one group, you're asked to join me. So far, I was on those two. My judge executive is Mike Pryor. Mike filled in 2 years of a term and was elected to his own term now, so he's still relatively new as well. And he's the one who asked me to represent Nicholas County here at Bluegrass Workforce Investment Board. And you've all been through the rest of where we are today. I did volunteer to do quote-unquote anything, and as the rest of our elected officials chose the other offices, I am now the chair, basically on training wheels as we get up and going. So if we can, if you want to start, I'll let you know too that, as I said, we not only are recording the meetings, but we are allowed to have members that attend via video conferencing. That is in the bylaws. I'm not sure exactly how that works yet, as in, does it have to be video conferencing? Could it be a conference call, etc.? But we do have a new board chair who we asked yesterday, Karen Snyder, who is attending via the conference call. And today she's not part of that voting group, but she is listening in so she can be up to speed. It was only yesterday that we learned which bylaws were the current bylaws, and that is version 6. Version 6 states that we have two additional committees that we thought previously were ad hoc committees, not full standing committees, and we've been corrected on that. So we have a finance and a personnel committee, and Karen, who has a wonderful HR background and has been on the personnel committee, has agreed to be chair of that committee. So with that in mind, Woods Adams,
could you My name is in? Woods Adams, and I'm from Lincoln County, born and raised in Lincoln County. Came up to the good city of Lexington for 4 years, graduated from the University of Kentucky, then headed back to Stanford, where I joined First Southern National Bank, I think in 2002. Been there ever since. Like you said, Tracy, that you know, once you join one small group in the county, you kind of get put into a lot of other ones. So I've been doing that for the last 13 years. Last 5 years, my wife and three kids, we purchased a farm, so we farm as a hobby, which kind of turned into a little more positive hobby these last couple years. So, and then my wife actually operates a daycare in Lincoln County, so we own and operate that, and I'm serving on the board because my two brothers live there as well, mom and dad, whole family, so maybe my kids may end up there, and the more opportunities there are for work, the better the chance that we'll have to keep them around. So.
Wow. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. So we also have Erica. And Erica, you are with the ad, is that correct?
Yes, I'm with the ad. I've been here for just under 11 years. I started out as a workforce specialist in the Danville Career Center. I was there for 6 years, and then I came here to the ad as the workforce services manager to work with whatever special initiatives are going on, as well as try to ensure that there's consistency with our workforce specialist staff and our sales personnel.
Very good. And our newest member.
I'm Ashley Gibson. Okay, I just got hired yesterday, I just started yesterday, and I'm the new administrative assistant.
Great.
All right, I'm Chris Turley. I've been here at the ad for just under 8 years. July will be my 8 years. I started off, just like Erica, as a workforce specialist at our Lexington Career Center. I moved on to our Richmond Career Center and became a career track coordinator that worked with youth. Then I took a position here at the ad as the youth services manager. I was the youth services manager for about 4 years, managing all the services that we provide to youth. And then here recently, about 3 weeks ago, I took on the role as interim associate director here at the ad.
Yes, my name is David Boggs, and I'm from Franklin County, representing the public sector. Judge Wells is our county judge executive, been there just a short time. I live in Frankfort, work in Lexington at Opportunity for Working and Learning, a nonprofit agency that serves individuals with disabilities. And I'm also serving on several committees throughout Central Kentucky and heavily involved in Scott County Chamber Economic Affairs.
I'm Jim DeBold. I'm from Woodford County, born and raised. My father came, a little over 50 years ago to start the Rand McNally plant that's there in Brazil. It's now the Quad Graphics plant. It's been luckily several times sold, and it looks like that's a piece of manufacturing that, while the printing industry somewhat diminishes, it still makes sense to be in this part of the country. So we're happy to have that as a job source in Kentucky. Went through the public schools there and then went to Western Kentucky University and graduated from there. Luckily, got the chance to work with the Area Development District in Barron River down there. Had a great experience with them over 2 different years. Got to see what valuable resources the Area Development District does for communities. And then John Cole, who's my county judge executive, contacted me about the need for someone to step up in this role. And I thought it certainly made sense to try and utilize federal funds to help Kentucky workers any way we can. So naturally, I thought anything I can do to help in that endeavor, I want to do that. So I'm especially a specialty insulation contractor. I've been doing that for 9 years. Originally got out of West Kentucky, went to work for Toyota, worked for them as a team member painting bumpers, and then a team leader training people to paint bumpers, and then administratively working in their production control planning department for annual, monthly, and daily planning. And then did some consulting for about 8 years, and then decided I wanted to come back to Kentucky.
My name's Lonnie Napier, and I was born and raised in Garrett County, and my dad and mother were in the merchandising business, and I was raised in the merchant business also. I served 28 years in the Kentucky legislature, just recently retired. While I was there, all the emphasis that things that I did, I was thinking about economic development for my district or county at that time, so every project that I really worked on had to do with economic development, really. I'm in the small retail business now. We have a couple stores in Lancaster. I live in Lancaster with my wife, and I have 2 children and 5 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, and I represent the private sector.
James Bushnell, I've been on the board, I guess, for 8 years now, and youth chair for probably 3 or 4 of those, I think. I'm from Harlan County, but I live in Garrett County now. I've been there about 8 years, and I've got a real estate development company there and also a finance officer for the county and some other business interests over the years. But
who's your judge executive?
John Wilson, who's here this morning, also our chief elected official.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And Karen, can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Very good. Can you give us a little introduction?
I'm Karen Schneider, and I'm representing Anderson County, and I am also going to be the chair for the Personnel Committee. I've been in Lexington for about 3 years now, most recently from Georgia.
All right. Another out-of-stater coming in to help. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Going forward, we'll continue with the community involvement reports, and some of what I'd like to add is updates on neat things that are going on in your committee. We're here to also network, and as we like to say in our chamber, we're part of an area group, R&D means rip off and duplicate. If there's a good idea out there that's helping your county and may help another in our area, we'd love to hear about it, that we can all share that information. Also, as you know, there have been a bit of a rough patch that our particular WIB area has gone through. So another aspect of what I'd like to do going forward is, if we can be ambassadors out there talking about what we're doing, what we hope to accomplish, etc., we need to know two things. We need to share success stories, and we also need to know if there are public misconceptions and or if we can identify any problems or things we need to rectify. We want to do that. It's not about finding blame. It's not about pointing fingers. We're here, as we've all stated, to do good things for this district. And we have some work to finish up here, but we want to get on solid footing to get off to a great positive start when the WIOA legislation kicks in July 1st. So, and as you'll see on the agenda, we've already identified a few things that needed to be fixed, tweaked, or taken care of, and as we find them, we are trying to address them. We are also operating under, not only do we have a lot of new members, but, we also have new staff. So, Chris is working hard to get us all up to speed. And as I've shared, we found out yesterday that we're operating under version 6 of the bylaws, and the bylaws state that we have 9 members on this executive committee, not 7. When I was first elected as chairman, I got with Chris and we identified that we were missing some chairs, and I had the authority to name chairs. So literally we went back through the emails of those when Mark Bengel had sent out who would be willing to serve and identified additional members who were willing to serve, and therefore we had named Woods Adams, thank you for stepping up, as our one-step chair. And yesterday, finding out that we needed personnel and finance is already our treasurer per the bylaws, I reached out to Karen Schneider, and she has accepted. But we still have a few open positions that we will be working on now filling. Steve Griffin is not here, as you can see, and his name's not listed either. Steve resigned yesterday, so we now have his committee also to fill. What we're trying to do is, as I said, get everybody on the same page and work as a group. I'm here to help facilitate, but I'm looking for everyone's input and everyone's participation so that we're doing the will of the entire group, with the executive board making recommendations to the full board, and I'm just trying to help facilitate and share information as I get it so that we can make informed decisions on what we're doing. So, going through, and we've got in our packet, so we'll go through there, who's on which committees, etc. But where I'm getting with here is Karen was the only remaining member who was not able to attend many of the sessions but has the personnel background, which is why we asked her to step forward. And we've got a couple of open positions that we'll need to find out, A, who's on the committee, and if anyone on executive committee has any recommendations, that would be fantastic, because we do need to fill Steve's program committee spot. And what else do we have that's open? We have... We've got one-stop personnel, program committee, finance committee is David, youth is James. So that's it. So we have one left. So we were trying to get that filled. To continue, just so we all know who's here, because I know I'm new and there are some other people too that are new. We also have guests who are attending, and it'd be great to let you know about some of the folks here. We have some of our judge executives, and we've got some of the finance, etc. Would you mind introducing yourselves to me so we all know?
My name is Clinton Colliver, and I work for the ad as the financial officer for WIA.
I'm Janet Landry. I work for the ad, and I'm the chief financial officer, and I'm also relatively new. I've been here about 4 months, and Clinton as well has been here about a month, so we're learning as well.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
I'm Jacqueline. I'm the assistant CFO. I've been here maybe 9 years in June. I just started out as the financial specialist.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm Stacy May. I work for the ad. I am the communications and marketing specialist for the WIA department.
I'm John Roberts. I'm the Fayette County judge executive.
I'm John Wilson, the Garrett County Judge Executive, and I'm also the chief local elected official for the Bluegrass region. I was voted on by the other 16 county judges and mayor of Lexington, and also am the chief local elected official by virtue of the bylaws that are currently in effect that says the highest ranking elected official at the Bluegrass ad will be the chief local elected official, so I kind of fill that role doubly. Thank you.
I'm Warbrick Ritten. I'm James Bushnell's biggest fan, and I'm the county judge executive in Anderson County.
I'm David Dellinger. I'm the executive director of the Bluegrass Ad. I've been here for about 8 years.
Thank you. David West, newly elected judge in Jessamine County.
Super. Great. So now everyone knows who's here and listening, as well as Karen. So what we'll do is continue through the agenda. WIB-related updates. As you know, this is a very unusual session. We're going through June 30th. So we're a three-month board, basically. And as I stated, we want to get things on solid footing, in good order, hopefully clear up everything we need to clear up so that we can start fresh again with the WIOA legislation. Fresh, but hopefully with a lot of the same people on our boards and representing as fit under new guidelines. So we'll cover a little of that as we go forward. We have some folks that we can look to for some questions here. But some of the related updates are, to bring everyone up to speed again, is we work under an interlocal agreement. And all 17 of our counties in our district have to agree on that, and they're still working on it. We have a deadline, a mandated deadline of April 30th. So there is going to be a meeting April 28th with the LEOs, if I'm correct, and also the mayor of Lexington and the governor in hopes of working that out. So that we will know more. Their meeting is the same day as our full meeting. Okay, and we're sticking to our schedule of meetings. We have very few left to wrap things up. So I believe, do we have calendars in here too?
They're not in the packet.
Okay, we can get one to everyone, but I did bring mine, and to give you an idea of what we've got to work with, our time span, is we have our full board meeting coming up next week. After that, there are two executive committee meetings on the agenda, one May 26th and one June 30th. That's what we have in order to complete the business that we need to complete. And staff, Chris, are going to bring us up to speed on what we need to do during that time period. So that's to complete. On the other hand, what I've shared with in emails and with David, too, we are new. We want to make educated decisions, and we're going to do our best to meet deadlines, But until we have all the information we need to make decisions and research, we're going to go at our own pace to make sure what we do is done right. And if we miss a deadline, we'll keep everyone informed and we'll do our best to meet those deadlines. But we want to make sure that ultimately we're making intelligent decisions. So we have the option of calling more meetings with correct notice as needed. So we'll be determining that. So again, with that looming deadline, depending on how things go at the 28th meeting with the governor, previously to that July 30th deadline, that may be changing things. So we will keep everyone informed. But we still want to finish up what we're doing, so we'll keep to our schedule and keep moving ahead. Are there any questions? Questions are good. And as I told Chris, too, there's no such thing as any stupid question or anything else. We want to get up to speed. So ask questions, please, and ask a lot so that we all know what's going on. So we've got our WIP-related update. Next on the agenda is our consent agenda. We typically have to approve minutes from last meetings. We missed doing that with our last meeting. So again, getting back to the business at hand, Chris, can you go over what we have here and what's been put together?
Yeah, so what you have in your package will be the minutes from a March 30th special call meeting. Basically, what was covered in that meeting is a selection of a slate of officers, which we're all here today, or you all are here today. Also covered in that meeting was Youth Council work experience proposals for Anderson County Community Action Council, Fort Logan High School, and Lexington-Fayette Urban County Government. Those were additional funds exceeding the $15,000 that they had previously been allotted in their contracts with us. So they submitted a proposal stating that they needed that additional funding, and it got approved at the last meeting. So that's what's the minutes that are in your packet. Just we'll need a motion to approve those minutes.
Are there any questions regarding the minutes?
I make the motion to approve.
Second.
Second with Woods Adams.
So James made the motion. Woods made the second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next thing you have in your packet will be the staff report that will cover stuff in March. So the first thing you see there, this is basically a dashboard or a snapshot of some of the services that are provided.
Which page are you looking at?
It'll be the next page after the meeting minutes.
This one?
Yes.
Okay, so it's this page we're on?
It says dashboard at the top.
And Karen, we sent so you can kind of look through too and
I've got it. Thank you.
Very good.
Good deal. So the first thing you see there are our business services that are offered out in the region. So it'll show you a breakdown of how many job orders were put in for the month of March, on-the-job training contracts, application screening, client screen from the applications, employers utilizing assessments, computerized assessments administered. All that's covered right there. And the next thing you'll see the unemployment rate in the region and all of the 17 counties that we touch. Also, you will see the unemployment rate for Kentucky and for the U.S. The next thing that is listed there is the performance. These are the performance measures that are laid out by the Department of Labor for each of our programs. So you see adult, dislocated worker, and youth. So that would be our performance for the first quarter of 15.
And how does that compare, Chris, to
the averages? So the way performance works, basically that is negotiated on a local level, okay? The state also negotiates performance with the Department of Labor. The way the last performance cycle, we either met or exceeded all measures with our programs. So this is a snapshot of that leading up to the overall performance that we're going to get later on in the year. So it matches up well. We're doing fine.
So a good bragging point for the programs that this board previously has put forth that are working in our communities and we are getting some really good results with our groups out of our six centers.
Yes, yes. The next thing you see is our enrollment numbers for the first quarter of 15. So we had 394 individuals across the region enrolled in case management. So case management basically would be services for employment services, you know, working with someone on resume, interviewing skills, whatever it may be, getting them ready to go out to the workforce. Training services, where we would send someone to a training provider to get additional skills that they may need to find suitable employment. Follow-up would be basically just following up with an individual to make sure they've retained employment and see if they need any additional services with the services that we have provided previously.
And that's mandated that there are, for our programs, after someone is placed, sometimes it's 1 month, sometimes longer, that we do the follow-up to ensure that what we did, the good thing we did, kind of stuck, or to find out if they need help again.
So for our adult dislocated worker and trade population, that'll be 4 quarters after someone has exited from our program. For our youth program, currently it'd be 1 quarter after they exit. And then you can see how many entered employment. So 142 individuals in that quarter have entered employment. So a total of 780 individuals are listed on that report there. The next thing you see is our youth contracts. So we subcontract out a lot of our youth programming. We field RFPs or proposals around this time every year. We actually have 9 contracts that covers 15 of our 17 counties in the region. And then we're working with Garrett County on a national grant that they're working on through their high school that's through the Department of Labor. So actually 16 counties in our region are getting some type of youth services. So you can see there the enrollment numbers of all the programs. Each program, excluding the LEAP Rural program, was available to enroll 40 students into their program. The next thing you see there is literacy and numeracy. What that is each student is tested in reading and math. If they are below an 8.9 level on a TABE test in reading or math, they're considered basic skills deficient. And literacy and numeracy is a measure that measures a level gain amongst reading and math. So you can see there our highest performing program will be our WIN program out of Frankfort. 37 of the 41 students have already achieved that level gain. Credential is next. So that would be either a GED or high school diploma. So we have 2 programs that are in-school programs. That would be Fort Logan High School, which serves Lincoln County, and the YIP program, which is run through Kentucky River Foothills out of Estill and Powell counties. So those are both in-school programs. You won't see literacy and numeracy numbers for them because they are in-school programs. We don't have to do any testing for those students. You'll see more credential numbers closer to June and July, as people are starting to graduate from high school and finishing up their GED work. And then employment will come in that quarter after exit. So that'll come July, August, and September. That's when those numbers will come in. And then the next thing you see there is a success story on one of our clients that's been a success. We try to provide a success story every month outlining some of the services we've provided to one of our clients that's been successful. So that's our dashboard report and our staff report.
Now, as you can hear from Chris's voice and the passion there, he has been head of the youth services. And over the last 8 years, we've gone from 3 programs to how many?
To 9.
To 9 now that are benefiting this region. Chris has headed up youth services. He is now our interim associate director. Make sure we got that right. Are you doing both for him?
I am. I am doing both.
Okay. And are we looking for a new director?
For the youth, yes, we will be working on that.
Okay. So we know that we have holes that we're filling on our board. And Bluegrass Ad also has some open positions. As you know, we have a new administrative assistant. So slowly, Chris, working with David, am I correct, are
yes.
filling those open positions. So they, too, are getting up to speed. And I think we may have some new members on our board. We still had a few counties that were recommending members so that we have full representation. And I know that Judge Wilson has been working on that. So we'll keep everyone posted as we get all those filled. So any questions for Chris on our report?
Okay. Next up, we have Jacqueline Vaught, the assistant CFO. She's going to come and talk to us about the financial report for March. And the reports are in your packet after the dashboard report. It starts with a sheet that says we have budget and goes through the next four pages there. So all the pages that you see that have numbers on them includes our financial report. And some of those pages are front and back, so we can follow along.
There is a lot of information there, so stop me at any point. I'm glad to answer any questions. So basically, has everyone seen the WIA budget?
That was occurred.
I'm sorry, can we hold on one second?
Yes.
Yeah, we already did separately. To stay in, I'm sorry, but I forgot. We asked if there were questions on Chris's report. Can we approve Chris's report? If no one has, do we have a motion to approve his report? James, any second?
Second
from Jim. All in favor? Any opposed? No. Passed. Sorry for the interruption.
That's all right.
Thank you. We're back to our budget.
Okay. So has everyone seen the budget that was approved? So you'll notice column B, C, and D, which is referring to adult substantive worker and youth funds. These are the items that were actually approved. The other information, rapid response, trade, AG, AG Go, were added here because I felt that it was necessary for you all to capture the big picture view of all of the dollars that we do receive. So this is information you do not need. That's fine. I just wanted to go ahead and give the information to you. It does represent about $570,000. So
let me see if we understand. The typical report in the past would cover adult, EW, displaced workers, and youth. But there's additional money coming in that is not normally on the report, but you've added that basically for new members so that we understand how the money is flowing through the WIA budget. Okay.
Yes. And so hopefully you are familiar with, you know, the allocations. The FY15 allocation was given to us October 1st, so we get three allocations here with the regular program dollars. It's actually July 1, October 1, and then April 1. And so at this point in time when the budget was covered, the newest allocation would have been October 1, and then this FY15 carryover was basically an estimation of what we believed would be funds carried over from July through December. And then we just break it down between the admin allocation, the admin expenses, and then we, on your second page, or on my second screen here, then there's the program allocation, and then the program expenses. And then it just goes in to show you any reserved money that will be carried over into the next year, which will be July 1, since this is just a six-month budget. So hopefully that part's just a refresher. The next page is a year-to-date report, and it basically is comparing the budget to expenses that hit our books January through March. And so you'll see the budget column. The total is $3,021,000. And then you'll see expenditures of $1.1 million, and then you'll have a balance over there. So this is just kind of give you a snapshot of kind of the macro level. There is a little note down here that I wanted to go ahead and talk about. You will notice that the board, the budget is set at $16,000 and it's showing the expenditures at $36,684. The reason is that the attorney fees for Sturgill, Turner, Barker, and Maloney were paid January 22nd, and those attorney fees covered July through December. So it's represented on here to show you that it was paid. Technically, it really shouldn't fall in this budget, but I wanted to show you when it actually impacted our books. And so you'll see this note. So this is how much was paid. It was paid on January 22nd. And then it was also approved, Christian might have to help me, I'm not sure which meeting, that $11,900.50 was not approved for the Walter Rourke and Gabe attorney fees from FY14. And so there was a journal entry that was done to correct those grants and put that money back in the budget of this $10,103.50 and then also this $1,797. So the difference here in these two numbers is the $10,103.50 are grants that we currently still have. And then the $1,797 is basically a refund because we don't have that grant anymore. Those three grants, they expired as of June 30, 2014. But, so you will see this reconciliation of what was requested on Bluegrass Ad to correct the grants with the attorney fees that were not approved.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And they were not approved in our finance committee did a review and did not approve. We do not have, we have our new finance chair who, brand new, and Mark Manuel is on our finance committee and was previous chair, so he has more information on this. So, note to group, this is something that the finance committee has been handling and that we'll want to get, it's one of those committees that we'll want to get an update from. But I don't believe that it's fair to put David on the spot today, as he's just been elected as treasurer, brand new, and the treasurer is chair of that committee. So you haven't had a chance to meet, to find out what's going on, or anything that's happening.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. So that would be most accurate.
So, but we, it's one of those items that we mentioned needs to be cleaned up. We have questions.
Well, I just wanted just to clarify, just so that you, I know most people in here are new. Last year, the WIB had their own law firm representing them. Now, local, the elected officials and the Bluegrass Ad had their own law firm. So the first bill there, the Sturgill, Turner, Barker, Maloney, that was a law firm that was representing this board. And then the Walter Rourke and Gay was representing, initially representing the Bluegrass Ad through a public procurement process, and then later represented the local elected officials. And so the discrepancy there with that $10,000 was some of the journal entries, some of those charges were actually legal services that were provided to the ad that did not deal with workforce investment. So the agreement, I think, is that any legal work that Walter Rourke and Gay did that was workforce related will be paid from workforce funds. There's actually
workforce investment board, or is that what you're saying? Or
well,
when you're saying
issues,
workforce funds, which funds is that?
Your workforce investment board funds, right out of this.
Was it in our budget previously, and what is it approved prior to spend?
Here's the so no legal fees were in the budget, not the workforce investment board. Your attorney's fees were not in the budget, and neither were ours. So there was actually a standoff that no legal fees were being paid for some part of last year. And we had a meeting with Deputy Secretary Brindley, the chief local elected official, and the WIB chairman. And at that meeting, it was agreed that the chief local elected official would advocate that this board's legal fees were paid, and that's at $46,000. And it was also agreed that the WIB chairman would advocate that the local elected official's legal fees were paid. And that has not been done. There was actually a meeting that was held with Deputy Secretary Brindley and myself, and they actually reviewed the wrong set of bills. So there's still, from July 1 until December 31st, a set of bills that this board is obligated. And Madam Chairman, I assume that you're bound by that agreement in principle,
yes,
that you're supposed,
yes,
to advocate that those are paid according to the terms.
Right. So we're trying to bring everyone up to speed.
Right. That's kind of where there's been a flurry of emails the last couple of days.
And that was Beth Brindley shared the notes and the meeting, and I think Mark Manuel was there as well, too.
Mark Manuel was not at the meeting for the agreement of principle, but he was there when we reviewed the legal bills. but for whatever reason, Jennifer Compton and Mark Manuel reviewed the wrong set of legal bills for the wrong period. Those bills had already been reviewed, so that's where there's kind of this discrepancy where they're still outstanding. And then when we were negotiating the budget for this year, we were trying to determine how much should be put in for legal bills, and then it was decided to just not put anything in there, which I think that, you know, kind of getting a little bit on a soapbox, but, you know, we have a lot of legal changes coming up, and we probably should revisit that issue between your board and myself to maybe add some money in there to get some legal help as we, you know, get ready for WIOA, because it's a 900-some-odd page law that it would be wise to have legal representation of.
Agreed. David.
Madam Chair, just to add one thing, too, not to put my staff on the spot, but one thing that Jacqueline might want to clarify on the budget here is the Walther Roark and Gay fees that she's listed directly below the Sturgill, Turner, Barker, and Maloney are not for the same time period. Those Walther Roark and Gay fees that were disallowed at the January meeting were actually from January of 2014 through June of 2014. Right, so FY14, even that, so what's also not shown on here is that there were a portion of those Walther Roark and Gay fees, I can't remember the exact number, Jacqueline, that were approved and were paid for with workforce investment dollars. So both Sturgill, Turner, Barker, Maloney, and Walther Roark and Gay fees have been paid for with workforce investment dollars. And as Judge Wilson has pointed out, the only thing that's missing or has not been reviewed, hasn't even been looked at, are the Walther Roark and Gay bills from July through December of 2014. I hope that makes it as clear as mud.
Well, what it gets down to, bottom line, is we have outstanding bills that need to be addressed, one. Two, we have a new chair of the Finance Committee, so we'll need to have the Finance Committee meet to be able to recommend to us and take a look at everything. And Beth Brinley has sent to us as well, and I have forwarded to all of you a copy of that agreement in principle that was discussed, and also the budget that was approved for January through June of 2015. So we have a lot of folks here that you've met as well, so please ask a lot of questions. Everyone's willing to help. And even folks who were on the board previously, like our personnel committee, our chair left, but we reached out and asked, where were you? Were there open things to look at? And we're gathering that information as well. The reason, in part, that we don't have some of that information is, through some of this, we didn't capture everything that was needed on the H drive. So we're trying to find out where some things have been stored or kept, and we're finding them, but it's a slow process. So we ask for A, your patience, and B, we'll keep you updated as we find new things. And we are adding to the H drive, and I also, everything that I've been getting, I've been putting on a Dropbox folder. And what I did is I shared to the executive board where I've got things, and I'm sharing to Chris, so Chris can put them on the H drive. We need everything here on the shared drive so that as we have new people coming in, you have a place to go to find out where we stood on things. You know, let's face it, someone could get hit by a truck, and what do? Someone could get sick. And so we have to have the backup and that knowledge so that we can go back through to, again, make those informed decisions. David?
Madam Chair, I have one more question,
yes, sir,
if I could, on the budget, to ask Jacqueline to clarify, because you list FY14 invoices not approved, and I pointed out that was the time period of January through June. Could you please explain to the board, because I know it's even hard for me to keep in my mind, that we actually are dealing with three different calendars. We've got a state calendar, a federal fiscal calendar, and then a calendar year. And all these funds flow in and budgets are approved and things that you all are looking at on paper are for different time periods. And I think it's very, very important to understand what time periods we're dealing with.
Yes. So the budget that we're talking about and the expenses that we're talking about here is the budget's January through June 2015. And then the expenses reported are January through March. That's current, what we have. Bluegrass Ad operates on a fiscal year. So all of our books, our general ledger, is fiscal year operating, which is July 1 through June 2015. It does make it a challenge, and a little bit difficult to use a budget that starts January through June. because we're basically having to compare and take 6 months of one budget and 6 months of another to also add them to Bluegrass Ad's budget, since VIA is also part of Bluegrass Ad. So does that help?
Yeah, and then just not to muddy it up anymore, but then you mentioned also earlier the allocations that are received come from the federal government, which begins a budget cycle on October 1.
Right.
So there's some, you got to pull out your little calendar and kind of know what dates we're dealing with when Jacqueline's giving the reports. And I just wanted to point that out because it is very important to know what time periods that we're dealing with, because funds do expire. They start from the federal government, they come to the state, and then like Jacqueline pointed out, we operate on a state fiscal year, which begins on July 1 through June 30th. Funds are flowing in from a federal perspective, which expire on a federal cycle. And you all have budgeted on a six-month cycle right now from January to June, and supposedly when the WIOA comes into play, you'll probably pass a new budget, which will probably be from July through June of the next cycle, a 12-month cycle.
Which would be wonderful.
Right, and that would at least align with the books that the Bluegrass Ad, as the fiscal agent and sub-grant recipient, are maintaining for your board.
Very good, thank you. Thus, the need for our committees who can really focus in on the different areas and help advise us. But it's up to us to stay as up-to-date as we can, too, which we will continue to share information with both the executive committee and our entire board. Any questions related to the budget?
I think I've got one. And so it sounds like the finance committee is going to review outstanding bills. Is that where we
correct.
Are?
Correct. We are not okay. approving any outstanding bills. We are noting that there are outstanding bills that we need to review and approve or disapprove so that we can then bring it back to our executive committee and or the full board, depending on which meeting we have, to decide how we're going to handle those bills. So am I correct? There's nothing in here that has not been previously approved. We're not approving anything new or payment of any new bills. So is everyone comfortable with that? And I had asked David, too, as I said, what are our deadlines? None of this has to be paid this month. We can get up to speed on what we need to do, but it is an outstanding bill that we need to address. The second item that's important is we currently have nothing in the budget for legal. And in today's world, I don't know that we can get by without having something in the legal. We can amend our budget, which we can look at doing, but it is something that we will want to look at and get some input from our financial committee as to making sure that we have money in there to cover and how we want to handle anything that comes up of a legal nature.
Madam Chairman, by the rules, when the budget's amended, it has to be agreed on by your board and the local elected officials, so I would just suggest maybe that we have some communication at the start of that, so that way it's not a back and forth. Maybe we can just all work on that together at the same time, concurrently, and then just we can both sign if there's an agreement. The previous process has been, two different silos, and this board trying to make a decision and sending something over, and then the local elected officials kind of back and forth. I think maybe if we just kind of do it together, facilitate a quicker decision.
Very good. So there is an idea for consideration.
What is there anything we can learn from what caused legal fees? Any way project what to budget for the future legal fees?
You want to answer that, Dave?
Well, I don't know. You want me to start, and then you can fill in the gaps. I think for past or for going forward, one thing that is important to realize is that there are three parties involved in administering this program. You've got the workforce board, you've got the local elected officials committee, and you've got your service provider and your sub-grant recipient, which is the Bluegrass Area Development District. The federal act, both the current one under the Workforce Investment Act and the one that will be implemented on, it's July 1 of 2016 is when it becomes in effect on the federal calendar, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, all provide for the need for legal services. And each of those three independent parties can each have their own individual legal service. Typically, when there is communication, as Judge Wilson has expressed, when there's cooperation and collaboration going on between those three parties, it is very common to have legal services, but only usually through one attorney, through one party. That's the only time when they represent the interest of the entire workforce area, which is the 17-county area that you all are making decisions for and setting strategy and policy for to provide services to. When those relationships break down and when that communication is not happening and when there's disagreements, silos happening like Judge Wilson had suggested, then it can become contentious. And at that point, then you end up having individual, each of those three parties individually represented, sometimes by different law firms. And as probably all of you all have experienced from life experiences and things, that's where it becomes difficult, because then instead of sitting down with Judge Wilson, meeting with Chair Brad Savage, talking things out to negotiate budget amendments, bring them both before both boards, Judge back to the Leos, Chair Brad Savage back to you all, then things get resolved. But when that is not happening, when those communications are not happening, it goes into letters going back and forth between attorneys, and that drives costs way up. I think that we are past that. I'm very optimistic that chapter is resolved. But as Judge Wilson pointed out, you've got 900 pages of federal act that you need to go through to understand. You're going to need legal guidance on that. You're going to need legal guidance on establishing a new bylaws for your own committee here, your own board here, to be in compliant with the new federal act. You're going to need legal review on a memorandum of agreement. You're going to have, I think, operations of one-stop centers as part of that, identification of roles and responsibilities. There are things which will require legal advice and support going forward. When it's one party, hopefully the cost will be minimized, and I think that ultimately that's what everybody in this room shares, the same common goal, regardless of which of those three parties that you represent, is that the more we can minimize the static, the friction associated with things that don't go to providing direct benefits, the better off our region is as a whole, right? So anything we can do to reduce the administrative burden associated with it's the taxation is what I refer to it, when a dollar comes back into the state and things don't go to direct service, they're being used for all the overhead costs, and legal is one of those overhead costs. We need to do what we can to minimize that. So,
one of the things, at the beginning of this meeting, you had a question about whether people could, participate via teleconference. Well, that's a legal question according to the Kentucky Open Records and Open Meetings Law. Who is providing you legal counsel? That's a rhetorical question because there's nobody. There's no lawyer on the Bluegrass Inn staff, and that's just an appropriate legal expense. Now, what happened kind of historically, there was a workforce investment employee who created some problems, and there was an investigation done. Bluegrass Ad had procured a law firm and began that investigation into that employee. That was turned over to the Lexington Police Department and later to the auditor's office. But all that investigation, the question becomes, out of which fund should that come from? That was a workforce employee. I think, our contention was that should come from workforce dollars. And then kind of as that representation went, those were personnel issues. The judges and the Bluegrass Ad were having to meet in executive session and not include the workforce board. And I think that led to a breakdown in trust between the two parties. And so later the workforce board hired their own law firm. And it got so contentious last year that the former chief local elected official, Mayor Burton, would sit in these meetings. And this board would sit here and talk to their attorney right here and say, you send him a letter and say this, and the guy's sitting right here in the meeting, and that's how, you know, so, you know, you're paying, you know, $150 an hour or whatever it is for the lawyer to send the mayor a letter who was in the meeting even, and then the mayor has to hire an attorney to send a letter back, and it's just absolutely is a tremendous waste of money. Hopefully we've moved past those days. Your chair and I talked for 45 minutes the other day. It was probably cumulatively longer than I had talked to the previous chair over the entire year in one phone call. So I have a lot of hope for things moving forward just as far as communication. The more that I don't have to hire an attorney to talk to you and you don't have to hire one to talk to me, we're saving a lot of money. So I think communication is really the key to that, Woods.
Gotcha. Do either one of your organizations or sides ever, do you guys have an attorney on retainer?
We do. And part of that, you know, we have to create a new interlocal agreement that's under a new federal law that no region had done yet. We were the first one, so we hired an expert, an attorney out of Oregon, Portland, Oregon, John Chamberlain, who teaches workforce investment. He's an expert in this. And then we had a local law firm, Walter Roark and Gay, to make sure it complied with local law. So some of these, it's not even a contentious thing. It's just researching that law and then drafting that document and then bringing that around to the 17 counties for passage. And in fact, though 16 of the 17 counties did pass that interlocal agreement, a lot of meetings with Deputy Secretary Brenly and even Secretary Zawacki. So, yes, we do have a law firm on retainer, and they're helping us. So some of these aren't contentious things. They're just like I said. Can Karen Schneider participate via conference and vote? That's
sure.
A question she needs to ask the law firm and get an answer on that. And that should be paid for out of these funds. And same thing with this interlocal agreement. Judge in the West, you know you're getting these emails. A lot of those are done with in consultation with the law firm because there's very difficult legal questions that really require someone who's got a lot of knowledge in this very arcane area of federal law. So,
yes, are those attorneys who are on retainer being paid by your group?
Well, and that's a great question.
The ad or workforce investment?
So can you go forward one slide, Jack, to the... So where you see that the $10,103 in invoices not approved, those were particular entries that were things that were maybe a service that was provided to the Bluegrass ad that was not workforce related. Okay, so the work or the Bluegrass ad will pay those out of their funds instead of workforce funds. The remainder of that bill was determined, yes, those are valid workforce expenses. It dealt with workforce issues, and workforce should pay for those. So starting January 1st, there is no money budgeted for any attorneys, but obviously there are still attorney's fees, you know, being used. We're having meetings with the governor next week. There's legal issues that need to be resolved prior to that meeting. There's legal documents that are being drafted, and at some point I think the local elected officials will probably ask this board to amend your budget that those things should be paid for through workforce dollars because they're workforce issues. But if you don't, then the Bluegrass ad will pay those. I mean, that's basically what it is. But these are workforces continuing to go on. We have this interlocal that needs to be drafted. We had one that was drafted that came back and said, you know, there's some changes. For instance, we didn't include the contact information for the judge's edges on there. So they said, well, you got to take it back around to all 17 counties to get the thing, all these fiscal courts to repass it based on that was one of the items. But those are attorney's fees that are needed for that, and that's where I would suggest that you amend your budget to include some legal fees for this period, January 1st through June 30th.
I will say, too, that last fall, I think I'd have to check the minutes to be absolutely sure, our finance committee looked through some documents from Walter Roark Gay, and they kind of marked them up as to which ones they felt were WIP-related, which ones were not, and we voted and cut a check at least once before. I'm fairly positive. That.
Yeah, and in that agreement in principle, it was agreed that any legal fees that were workforce, I think that the idea was that they would be paid through workforce dollars. It actually says there, and you've got it, it says the WIB chair will advocate for the LEO legal fees to be paid. And that obviously doesn't mean our legal fees for Bluegrass ad stuff. That means our workforce legal fees would be paid.
And that's what we have the finance committee looking into, which A, fit those criteria, which we may have questions on, and which the Finance Committee is recommending that are not part of ours. But going forward, when we're looking at legal fees, we have a number of options. And as you've heard, we have the three groups that have legal on retainer. There are some things that using one attorney and working together on makes great sense. And then this group and the full board can decide if we want to have our own attorney as well, just to stay up to speed on things if people are weary about, if it does blow up again, we've got an attorney sitting there. But A, do we want to have that expense? Or B, do we want to state that we will approve only things that we get notice of prior to their being spent? And understanding, we're going to retain an attorney, it's for this purpose, and we want you to pay it. So we're required to stay on top of how the money's spent, etc. So with our finance committee, we can lay out the rules for that so that we're all on the same playing field and we all understand.
Yeah, that was one of the issues last year, the workforce board's position was, well, the local elected officials didn't ask us first for their legal, you know, to hire this attorney. And then the judges said, well, you didn't ask us for yours either, and we're supposed to be this partnership. So it kind of broke down. The WIB said, we're not paying your bills because you didn't ask our permission first. And the judges said, you know what, well, we're not going to pay yours because you didn't ask our permission first either. And we had to stand off for the better part of last year, you know, where nobody was getting paid. And so that's kind of what precipitated that meeting in December, where Beth Brindley sat down and said, look, they're all workforce bills. You know, you, the Cleo, Mayor Burtner, you need to advocate. You need to tell the judges that they should pay these bills. And told Merrill Smith, you need to tell your WIB board that they need to pay these bills. And that's kind of what happened.
So, and go ahead.
Does the Bluegrass Board, do y'all retain, do you have an attorney on the retainer all the time?
Yes.
Why can't your attorney oversee these other, under these other agencies, still having to have four or five different attorneys?
We agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's a board decision for you all. That's a board decision for the local elected officials. You know, I think that they definitely would have to present, exclusion of any conflicts of interest and be able to communicate. But from a total efficiency standpoint, if you got 900 pages of regulations that got to be read, it's obviously a lot cheaper to pay one person to read them as opposed to paying three people to read them, because that creates more of that static, more of that inefficiencies, more of that friction, which costs dollars.
Especially if we're all on the same team.
Exactly.
The attorney that you have on a retainer fee, whoever that person is, should be able to do all the work for the entire board. I've never discussed this with anybody. I'm just sitting here listening.
Right.
You're wasting money.
We agree.
One lawyer, one attorney can do every bit of this, and I'll bet you if you check it out now, you've got three different, four, I don't know how many attorneys y'all have here, but you're wasting money on top of money.
Well, you're right, and what happened was the Bluegrass Ad had an attorney first, okay, and then the WIB board said, well, we want our own attorney, so they hired theirs. And then the local elected official said, well, because if there's a misspent dollar, you know who's liable? Me, chief local elected official. And at the time, the guy sitting in my position didn't have an attorney. So he kept saying, look, I need an attorney. The WIB said, yeah, you got to hire now a third attorney because we don't want you using the Bluegrass Ad attorney. And then they didn't approve the funding. So the decision was made by the local chief local elected official to use the Bluegrass Ad attorney. So there has just been two. And then you're all, there's no money budgeted, so.
But the Bluegrass Board should not hire any attorney that's not qualified to take care of everything. And, Judge, you mentioned something about somebody in the state of Oregon or somebody that's overlooking things. Why would you hire somebody out there to do it when you got a local attorney here on a retainer fee?
Well, because
he should be up to speed, whoever you hire, on all the legal.
Well, the person that that Judge Wilson's referring to from Oregon is actually a consultant. He's not licensed to practice law in Kentucky and therefore could not provide legal counsel.
Well, why did you go to him?
So we went to him, the Leos did, because he's a national expert in workforce issues, and so he understands what's happening across the entire United States. And he was hired basically just to provide advice on how you might put together an interlocal agreement and provide training as well. So he's a trainer. I mean, he goes to, I mean, James has been to conferences with them. Chris has. His name's John Chamberlain. He provides training at a national level. Secretary Brindley has worked with them. He's just a high level expert in terms of training. But and what he has told me in terms of legal stuff, there's 530 workforce areas in the United States, and he couldn't quote to me any other area where there was multiple attorneys retained for those three parties that we've mentioned. Usually it's one attorney, like you've mentioned.
And that's what I'm for all three functions.
But to Lonnie's point, we're the Workforce Investment Board. We're trying to put Kentucky to work.
Right.
So the question is, we've hired someone from Oregon.
The reason is there is no expert in workforce matters in Kentucky. And in fact, this is a guy who Deputy Secretary Brindley calls on for advice from time to time. So when it gets into this, the nuances of this new law coming into effect, there's really just a handful of people in the whole country that really have the experience to answer those questions. And so, in fact, we hired John Chamberlain. The cabinet hired a guy named Ed Donahue, who's like the same kind of national expert. He's at DC. I agree with you. Most of our expense has been, the legal expenses have been with Walter Roark and Gay, but this guy, I'm an attorney myself, and I'm certainly not qualified to have provided the advice that John Chamberlain has provided to us. So a lot of times, you know, when it deals with this particular part of this consulting, he's been invaluable.
So his intellectual capital is well worth, we see a value in that intellectual capital.
There's just not someone in Kentucky who provides that service.
You said he's a consultant, not an attorney.
Well, he is an attorney, okay? He's gone to law school, and I think he has a license to practice law in Oregon, but he closed down his law business a long time ago, like in the 1970s, and he's been doing workforce matters ever since then. And he's traveled. He's a frequent traveler. He's been to every state in the union. He teaches at these national conferences, provides presentations. State directors call on him. The federal government calls on him. He drafts, regulations. He negotiates with the the federal legislators. He helps broker things. I mean, that's just what he does. I mean, I don't think you can call him an arbitrator. He's a trainer. I mean, he's a consultant and a trainer on workforce issues.
He does this for workforce areas all around the country. It's not just us. This is basically our system here was broken, and we needed an expert to come in and number one, get the judges up to speed with what was going on. And he came in and did that. He helped us draft.
Based on what he charges, he's making millions.
No, actually, I wouldn't say that. He's not up there because the Bluegrass ad paid for his consultation services. He was not listed on there at all because the Bluegrass ad paid for it on behalf of local elected officials when that training was needed.
But are you suggesting that the WIB look at adding a line item for this to pay for all? Or are we splitting costs, or we need to take a look at
that's how what we need to sit down and discuss. Because,
right.
You know, if you all want to hire your own attorney, that's certainly within your right to do that, and that's a decision that you need to make independently of me if you want to do that. But
or the other, as I was suggesting, if all three groups are using, do we split the cost three ways? Or are we asking one group to pay it or another? That's what needs to be decided and discussed.
Exactly. And so when you're all's budget, you all wish to amend your budget, I have to sign off on it for it to take effect. And so we've had problems before where the chief local elected official thought you should amend the budget, you all didn't agree, or vice versa, you all wanted to amend the budget and the chief local elected official didn't agree. So my statement was just, let's talk from the very beginning, and that way we can just, it's a lot easier to sit down at the table and say, hey, look, I can agree with that or I can't agree with that right at the beginning. Not wasting everybody's time.
But, Madam Chair, I just want to clarify one thing. I just make sure there's no confusion on this. You say split things. I mean, the Bluegrass Area Development District, as the fiscal agent, we pay for everything with a grant, depending on what the purpose of that grant was for. If the purpose of a legal service from whatever firm might have been was for workforce, that's where Jacqueline, Clinton, Janet are going to look to pay for that fee for, because there's no other source of funds. They can't take that charge or that service and use aging dollars or use another grant dollars to pay for it. So you know, we don't come to this board or any other board to ask for you all to pay for, you know, a portion of our legal fees. That's a completely separate issue that's paid for with different funds and different grant sources. The only ones that would even be for consideration, so it's really not a matter of splitting. It's just a matter of payment whole, regardless of whether it was done on behalf of the local elected officials, for you as the chair, or for the it's for the area. That's what it's for. It's for the workforce area. Don't think of it as individual parties. Think of it as a necessity or a benefit for the workforce area.
I would agree. And all I'm trying to do is clarify that we need to understand how it's being spent, what it's covering, so that there aren't questions later. Or there aren't. I thought you were. So we want to lay out a wonderful agreement where ideally we can all three groups go to the same council for these specific matters. And if there are other areas, there's a separate attorney as well for Bluegrass Ad outside of our consultant.
There is. We retain the same attorney, Walter Orr, who is the ADS staff counsel, and they're on retainer, and they come to the ADS. They come to all of our executive meetings, our full board meetings. They provide services, and they line item out all the services that they provide. So if they're giving general consultation, that's what it's listed as. If it's aging services, that's what it's listed as. And if it's workforce, that's what they list it as, and that's where the quandary is right now, because we have invoices that have not been paid, because I can't authorize any payment of them because I need the board approval and review of them, first of all, right? And there's no other funds or, you know, sources of grants that we can charge it to make the payment. The other things, they've been paid for, but workforce is being held in abeyment right now until we can get a decision on how to move forward.
So we've got Finance Committee looking at that. But the other point I'm trying to get to is, we brought up an item today. It says in the bylaws that you can attend via teleconference. Define that.
Right.
I can't answer that question. Chris can't answer that question. You can't answer that question.
Correct.
Is the conference phone good? Or how do you define teleconference? And if it's teleconference, do we have to make it available to everyone?
It's a telephone.
Huh?
So that's a telephone.
It is. Telephone. So again, there are those kind of things that are going to come up. And if we have an attorney that we can go to for those kind of things, not the consultant high price guy, we're going to need that. It's not in the budget currently. We're going to need to add. We're charging our finance committee to take a look at and help us make some recommendations.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt. Board members, distinguished guests, I have an appointment back in Anderson County, so I'm going to need to leave, but I apologize for...
Thank you very much for coming.
Amen.
I'm doing one thing.
Now, what you were saying a minute ago, you have a law firm that's on a retainer fee for the Bluegrass Area Development Board.
Yes, sir.
And then that law firm sets in on another committee meeting, but he gets paid separately from what you pay on retainer. He sets in on the meeting. He's on a retainer fee for the Bluegrass Ad. But if he comes in and sits in on one of these meetings, he's paid separately.
Every hour that he spends doing anything, he itemizes his bill. So, I'm open to share all of the legal bills with you all for the Finance Committee or for you all to look at. They're all available for you all to look at. You can see how he puts down all of his time and describes what he's doing. And then he has cost codes associated with each one of them, so it makes it clear for Jacqueline and Clinton when they
let me
when they
help
come in.
The people understand it. They're on the retainer fee for you, and while they're on a retainer fee for you, they document the hours that they work for Bluegrass Area Board.
Yes.
And then when they come and sit down in this committee, they document the hours that they're working, and they say, we work for this committee so many times.
Yes, sir.
Y'all understand that? Yeah, I do now. Okay.
And what we want to clarify is
it's a lot clearer.
What you're going to do for us when you're billing us, what you're billing us for, so that we understand, and then there's not a question later about, wait a second, we didn't okay that prior. So if we can define what we want to have this person do, say I have a question about, again, the video conferencing. Am I okay to call? Do I have to get permission first? Should I email the board and say, I'd like to find out about this, is it okay with everyone? Or are we going to say, in general, if there's business, that, but I do want to, somehow we want to note, because you don't want to go back later and say, what's this about? And I forgot to tell you that I asked the attorney something. So we need to come up with a way of operating that we can note and tell the whole board and tell Chris or someone so that centrally located we know when we've reached out. Therefore, it matches up with the, what the attorney's billing us, and it makes it much easier to reconcile, too. So all we're trying to do is we need to now set up a better way to operate. To your point, there were miscommunications previously that led to, now I have an attorney, you have an attorney. Look, we've got a whole new group. We're off to a new, fresh start. I know my judge executive shared with me that for 2 years, he and the other Leos have been working with David and with the prior board to really work through and get all this stuff taken care of. Because what we want to do is spend these 3 months getting on a good solid footing, a good way to operate, so that we can do great things for the state of Kentucky in our area going forward.
Well, I would suggest then that if we're going to get our separate attorney.
No, I'm not suggesting.
No, I say if we do on a retainer. Or not a retainer fee, but when they come in, this committee approve that meeting that they set in on that day. You know, if that lawyer comes in here and he sits during that meeting and she's requesting to come in, then we approve that attorney to be paid that day. And then they'll have the documents.
One of the things.
Do what?
And that, can we put that then, David, your finance? Your finance and legal goes under which committee now? Is that program? Or is that person?
Well, we have to.
That I really feel like our conversation has strayed far away from our financial report.
Yes.
And I would like for us to get back on track, because obviously this is an issue we're not going to resolve today. And I feel like we need to move on. And then when we start talking about this new board, our old current board now works on our strategic plan and moving forward, that the Finance Committee look at this and we will take it into consideration, because certainly we are, I hate to use the word waste, but we are spending a lot of valuable resources talking about an amount of money that is certainly significant in a lot of individuals' eyes, but when we look at the total budget of this organization, it's a very small amount. And so I would like for our Finance Committee to look at this and come back after we have our Finance Committee meeting before our next regular scheduled meeting for the Executive Committee. The Finance Committee will meet, and we will come back with a recommendation for this to the best of our abilities.
Excellent. So,
and I would make that
motion?
As a motion, yes.
Motion? Second?
I'll second that motion.
Second, Jim. All in favor? All opposed? None. So that is a new motion that's passed. The other motion that we have, are there any further questions on our financial report?
So who's the approval?
We have Jim seconded.
Second. Jim seconded.
And David?
Yes, I made that.
Made that motion. So, looking at our financial report, any further questions? No? Do we have a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Lonnie? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
James seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Accepted. All right. We're on to old business.
All right. For the sake of everyone's time, I'm going to speed it up a little bit in regards to strategic plan, because it's something I will revisit at the full board meeting on Tuesday the 28th. So basically, the previous board had a strategic plan that started in 2011. That they met with and utilized EKU Facilitation Group to help them with that strategic plan. That document is in your packet behind the financial documents. It states Bluegrass Workforce Investment Board Revised Strategic Plan. So if you go through that, you can get an update of executive summary of that plan. It lays out kind of how it started in 2011, what they done in 2012, and what they done in 2013. I'm giving you this just so you can have an idea of kind of what they were working on with their plan. Of course, this group will need to create their own strategic plan going forward. So if you go on through that document there, is everyone following me? It's just like Bluegrass Workforce Investment Board revised strategic plan.
Okay.
So if you go on through that document and go to page 5 of the document there, it shows a 2015 strategic focus. So basically they broke their plan down to three different areas. They had a visionary, a projection, and then a directional based off of four different focuses. So for focus one, their visionary was to impact the growth of the economy. So the way they wanted to do that was to identify the workforce skills, needs, gaps in the region. So they were going to do that by three different directionals. They were going to focus on our priority sectors, which are advanced manufacturing, IT, healthcare, and transportation distribution and logistics. They were going to achieve work-ready community status in several other counties in the region, and then present an annual workforce summit addressing employer needs. That was an annual thing that they were going to do. The next focus is two. The visionary was to become the catalyst for workforce issues. They were going to promote awareness of the BGWIB, and they worked on business services redesign in the region. Focus three was to develop a visionary 100% engaged board. So they developed board member tools. So online, there's a training online. That was a result of their strategic plan. There's also documentation online regarding board training. That also was a result of the strategic plan. So it says there to create a standard board orientation. They've done that. Okay. And then focus four is to create a qualified pool of work-ready candidates. So they wanted to improve the quality of services provided in the region. So they put in there to obtain one-stop certifications, which you're going to hear about here in a little bit. Increase student career interest in priority sectors. So in the healthcare sector, we created a health career camp for middle school and high school age students that is offered in the month of June. That has expanded to be a three-week endeavor. For young people to learn about health careers, okay? So that's one thing we're doing with our youth population to increase their interest in our priority sectors in the region. Also created work-ready applicant programs and explore opportunities for accelerated learning that's through BCTC.
Now, am I correct? This is what we're working under currently?
Correct.
And once we get the new legislation, the new strategic plan
will need to be put into effect. Yes.
So this gives us kind of a skeleton that the new group will be working towards, number one. Number two, you can see all the programs that are going on now are reflections of this, and we have some things to finish up before June 30th that relate to this. So that's the significance of getting this plan to everyone. And we'll share with the full board.
And like I said, that's strictly a resource point for you guys to look at to help you going forward.
So there is our strategic plan overview. Next on the agenda, so we'll do both and then go ahead and approve old business if that's okay. So the other is the corrective action plan. As you know, we were reviewed by the state, and suggestions were made and or dictated as to what we need to do to correct some of the problems, inefficiencies, or things that could be done better. We've been working on that for 2 years. There are reports that are due to the state on the 8th and the 15th. Because we, Workforce Investment Board, have to participate in those reports, what we've started doing is working with David, who submits the reports, where he is getting to me, and I'm sharing with you, the board, what we're updating, so that based on us being in all these meetings, we can make sure we backstop one another, include everything that we're doing to present to the state. The 8th is a nice short report. The 15th is huge. And we have just certain segments of that. You may have noted, too, I met with David, along with Chris, and I was here with my judge executive, Mike Pryor, as we were getting acquainted, etc., and we discussed what we were going to put in that. But I know what I meant to say, but it wasn't necessarily what David heard. So what we're going to do now is we'll make sure, as we did on the 8th report, get it in writing so we can craft it and make sure that we're giving the state the information that they need and it truly represents what we're doing. So those are the two reports that are part of that corrective action plan. Finance Committee is looking at some of the things, as we said. Also, we do have a corrective update. And as we said, as we're going through, we're finding things, as we talked about with attorneys. We need to set up how we're going to do it, use them, okay, etc. We came across also a situation where we found that in some instances, people taking tests at our career center were allowed to take them home. Now, there are two issues. One, if you know if you buy Microsoft or anything else, you're allowed to put it on just two computers. There are seats. Therefore, you can't have more than the seats we've paid for using it. Number two, even though, for whatever reason, trying to be nice or whatever, we shouldn't be taking tests home. As soon as that was noted, Chris, A, found out the employee or employees that were doing that and letting them know that that's not policy, and now we're getting out to everyone that no, not policy. The reason this is important is if we are testing for an employer, we want to make sure that we are giving them the best possible candidates and that everyone's gone through the testing on an equal basis. Okay? So again, find out there's a problem, fix it. Let's just work together in a positive manner to take care of things as they come up. So I just wanted to let you know that that was discovered and was corrected. Any questions on that? No. Okay. So we've got a correction. And as I said, another thing that we found that we didn't know until this week was that the finance and personnel committees are not ad hoc committees. Therefore, they need to be on the executive board. So we are now taking steps, and I would love to get input and ideas from anyone. And we'll go out to the entire board saying, we have open chairs. Does anyone want to volunteer? And if not, then we need your recommendations on who might be great that we can kind of hopefully talk into it so that we're at full speed. That covers all of our old business. Anything? Any other questions? Do we need to vote on old business too? Yes. Make sure we're accepted?
I make a motion to
accept old business?
Accept old business.
James, any second?
I'll second.
Woods, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Accepted. Is everybody good? Do you want to take a 5-minute break or just keep going? We're good?
I have to leave at 10:30.
Let's go. New business, committee updates. What we're looking at, I gave part of that update already. I know everyone's new, so we're not expecting you to give an update. But the idea of putting this on is that we do have a new one-stop chair, Woods Adams. We have a new chair with Karen Snyder. Steve Griffin has resigned as of yesterday, so we have a chair opening. Our finance is headed by our current treasurer, David Boggs. He'll be calling a meeting, and James has youth council. We're trying to get information together for Karen as to what personnel was doing. Are there open issues so that the different committees can set meetings? And as part of our upcoming full board, if you go through the orientation, we want all of our members to be on a board. So we're going to get out information to them with our 5 days' notice. Please be thinking about what board you want to be on, who's on, and who are chairs. So we're going to get that taken care of. Anyone from any of the committees want to add anything?
We did have, with the youth council, we had our youth competition, successful competition once again. I want to commend Chris for all this hard work. Every year since I've been youth chair, he's done a phenomenal job with the competition and the staff. And now he's doing that along with his new duties. So I just want to commend him for that. It's a lot of hard work, I know. We had our competition at the Leechtown Road campus, BCTCS. We want to thank them for letting us use the facility. I invite all of you to come to a youth competition maybe next year. It's a good experience, and it's very rewarding to see the kids go through the process and how much pride they take in their interviews and their competition. It's always an enjoyable day for me. And the next thing on our agenda for the Youth Council will be, as as we learn what's coming with WIOLA, getting ready for the RFPs and next year's programs, we anticipate some changes. Hopefully one of those changes will be additional funding for youth programs. We had a lot of success last year with about a 25 to 30% increase over the year before, if I remember correctly. So it's something that, you know, we're meeting our benchmarks. We've got successful programs representing 16 of the 17 counties. And I think that we're being rewarded for that financially from the federal government. So that's a good indication of success as well.
Very good.
That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Any other chairs at this point want to add anything?
We had a meeting. Of course, Erica helped fill me in on quite a bit of stuff, but trying to get a little grasp of it. April 13th, we've met with Gina and Brad and Erica and myself, just to kind of touch base with, we've got to have one of the six centers, one-stop centers certified, which is Richmond by June 30th is the goal. It's the deadline.
It's the deadline.
So I think Chris and Erica are working together on bi-weekly meetings, you guys?
Weekly.
Weekly, yeah. Okay. Weekly, and I'm trying to get that achieved to be certified, and there's a list of things that have to be done, much more than I can fathom what they are, but I think they've got a pretty good grasp of it. And once we do that, they have to be reviewed. So I guess three local states, which Jonathan White, Erica, and then Gina Oney, and then also two peer reviewers from other ads. Is that correct? Areas. So hopefully we'll touch base before. Well, of course we'll have a full board meeting next week. So I don't know what much more get accomplished, but I think it's coming along pretty well. With Chris and Erica meeting weekly, trying to identify what's next.
Excellent. Any other chairs want to add at this point? But what we will ask is if you can get up to speed and give an overview. We want to add that, Chris, yep, to the agenda for our new members. Just real short, this was wonderful. Positive news, what's going on, so people have an idea what the committees are, what we're doing, and where we stand on things. So that's great. So committee updates, I think we're all set. Any other questions on committee updates? Nope. Okay. Then we approve. We've got that covered. Any motion? Or do we do that next meeting?
There's really nothing to,
yeah,
new meeting. To approve.
That'll be next meeting after we approve the minutes. Okay, super. We have upcoming training, too, which is our open meeting, open records.
Yep. So we're basically working on trying to retain someone to come here and train the full board on open meetings, open records. So we're making sure that we're complying with notices out to the public about our meetings, making sure that we're doing everything transparent for everyone to see. So we're working on trying to get that scheduled for our meeting next Tuesday with the full board.
We've covered already our one-stop certification. We've got an update on that.
Which we'll have a presentation that we could have done today, but I'm going to hold off on that till the full board meeting for the sake of everyone's time.
And we've taken care of now our KCC assessments.
Yes. And then the last thing you have there, the next thing you have there is a WIOLA update. So basically, I'm just going to go over a few quick things. WIOLA is new. It's still kind of muddy to us right now because there's still the Department of Labor and the federal government still working through some things right now. But to give you an idea, it was signed into law July 22nd, 2014. There's a document in the back of your packet. That should be the last document in your packet. That gives you some updates. Congress passed the act by a wide bipartisan majority. It's the first legislative reform in 15 years of the public workforce system. It's a landmark legislation designed to strengthen and improve our nation's public workforce system and help get Americans, including youth, and those with significant barriers to employment. WIOLA supersedes the Workforce Investment Act of 1998, which is the current law that we're operating under, and amends the Adult Education and Family Literacy Act, the Wagner-Peiser Act, and the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. Kentucky plans to be what's called an early implementation state. So what that means is Kentucky plans to fully implement WIOLA July 1st, 2015. Okay. David mentioned July 1st, 2016 on the federal side, it being fully implemented. Kentucky wants to be our early implementation state. So basically it aligns core programs to provide coordinated comprehensive services. Those core programs will be adult dislocated worker and youth formula programs administered by the Department of Labor. That'll be the Education and Family Literacy Act program administered by the Department of Education, the Wagner-Peiser Employment Service Program administered by DOL, and the Vocational Rehabilitation Program administered by ED. So basically, the Department of Labor released what's called Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. We call them NPRMs is the acronym, on the Federal Register for Public Inspection on April the 16th. The Department of Labor allows a comment period, which will close on June the 15th. So that tells you right there, there's not a whole lot of guidance out there right now on how the programs are going to be laid out and how it's going to look with the state wanting to implement July 1. So we're going to be looking at a very strict time frame there, trying to get things squared away. So just want to throw out some dates to you, get you acclimated with some things that's going on with the law.
So that's all we wanted to cover there.
Yeah.
Part of today, again, we met so that we can be prepared for the full board. We've got a lot of new members coming in. So as together as we can be, I think it will assure all of them that we can all do what we came on board to do, which is help get jobs and bring this information back so that all of the counties involved can take advantage of this and we can put a lot of people to work. So we have to have that agenda out today. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay. So if you have anything that you can think of now that you'd like to add to the agenda or suggest for it, we're only going to cover what's on the agenda. So we want to make sure that we have everything covered. So if you have something of note, we're going to keep the topics rather broad, very similar to this. We want to have respect everyone's time and basically have kind of a short meeting to cover, but then we can go over an orientation. But in this case, it's only for the next 3 months. So we can bring them a little up to speed as it's going to affect the new legislation, right?
Correct.
Like the strategic plan, etc. So we don't have to go through everything. So we've asked everyone to look it online, and then we'll just hopefully in a very short period of time be able to cover and go. So we always want to respect everyone's time. First meeting is probably longer than hopefully those in the future will be. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, for stepping up and joining, for taking on lead roles. We'll keep you posted, and again, if you have any suggestions, we'll put out a note on this last board position open. And we do have a great relationship. We are off to a great start, a great relationship working with both the ADD, David and his team, Judge Wilson, and all of our elected officials. Chris is really stepping up in his role as basically working in between and for both the ADD and the Bluegrass Whip. Great reference, too. So if you need help, call out. If we don't know where it is, we'll figure out how to track it down. That's all we can do. So thank you very much.
Well, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Done. Thank you.